You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Junkyard Dogcast. We got the whole crew with us this week. I'm Jordan Hill. We got Rusty Mansell and Kip Adams. Let's start with you, Rusty. You were with me in the press box there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. How is this week treating you as we get ready to turn the page to week two for Georgia?
It's good timing because right now, if you're watching this live on SEC Network, is the replay of the Georgia-Oregon game. We've all probably watched it a couple times now. Obviously, Jordan, we sit there and kind of looked at each other a couple of times like, wow. I think everybody here was comfortable in picking Georgia. I think we all pretty much picked them, spread, cover, that type of deal. But to go in and totally dominate Oregon, Jordan, you said it off air a while ago. I think you kind of said it right. We don't really know what Oregon's got, but we knew Georgia could be explosive. Did we think 7 for 7 for 7 touchdowns explosive? I did not, but we shall see. It was very impressive. Offensive output, thought defense obviously played well, and they look fast. You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing I'll take if we're going to take a quick hitter on that game. The biggest thing that I saw from Georgia defensively is that speed is still there. And then you add a kid like Malachi Starks in with his overall athleticism on the back end too. Man, that's scary for future opponents for Georgia.
Throw it to you, Kip, who handled our post-game podcast. Obviously, you had a lot to talk about coming off of that game. What were your thoughts on what you got to see and what kind of stood out to you about Georgia in that win?
Yeah, it's tough for us to know for sure what we saw because only one opponent out there. And then, this weekend, I'm not really sure we're going to learn a whole lot about Georgia as well. But at the same time, I'm interested to see what this defense does this season, because it was an interesting look. Only 3 tackles for loss. I think they averaged like 5 yards per play, no 3 and outs. And yet, it kind of seemed like they were playing to a game plan. They kind of knew what Bo Nix was going to give them. And so they were fine with that. They were, they were completely okay with what Oregon's defense or offense was going to do. I don't think they were really surprised by anything. Those first 2 series, you kind of, you want to see if there's any new looks and then kind of get comfortable out there. And it was interesting because it just kind of seemed that Oregon played into Georgia's defense, and that's exactly what Georgia wanted. So I'm interested in seeing maybe if this defense gives different looks, the different opponents this year, or if this is kind of what Georgia's defense is going to be, kind of that bend but don't break defense. Offensively, I think you have to be excited about what you saw out there. Todd Monken with a full offseason, I think, this is exactly the kind of offense he kind of wanted to run, attacking the perimeter. This was not the Georgia of old, running it up the middle and then kind of throwing it, down the field in those low percentage, 50-50 balls that you hope for out there. This was a high percentage efficient offense, and this is exactly what Georgia fans have been hoping to see. And if they see that the whole year, I think it'll be a pretty exciting time for Georgia fans.
Brian Bivens in the comments said Chris Smith was just playing lights out. Yeah, man, I was incredibly impressed with the way Chris played. And it was so striking to see him, a super senior, making plays like that. And then obviously we saw Malachi, a true freshman in his first game. What a great showing from both those guys. Well, this is going to be our mailbag episode for this week. So we've got questions from our message board. Also, if you are in the comments watching us live on YouTube or on Facebook Live as well, go in the comments and leave us some questions. We'll try to get them as well as the questions we got from the junkyard. And we're going to start with one from Hooper Dog, and this will be for Rusty. More of a recruiting question. Saturday was a billboard for UGA recruiting. Will it work? And as part of that question, apart from Hakeem and Tyler Williams, is there any other receivers you think Georgia could be in the mix for coming off of that game?
I mean, it's one game, so you don't, you know, I think that did not hurt at all. That did not hurt Georgia's chances with any skill player at all. It's one game, however. It's a sample. And what can Georgia show? Kirby Smart to make that comment in the press conference afterwards to say, look, you know, hey, people, we know people are watching and people that we want offense that people want to play in. That dude's always recruiting. And he made that. That was a very deliberate message. And I think with Georgia, I've made it clear, you know, that they get negative recruited against. And, you know, you can argue both sides of it. I'm telling you what teams use against Georgia. And is it they don't get a lot of touches at wide receiver. You're going to share touches. And no one's had 1,000 yards since, what, Terrence Edwards. So, you know, and you can combat that with, hey, they got these first-round tight ends and running backs are getting touches and everybody's getting touches. But at the end of the day, you can work the angle how you want to. And schools work that angle against Georgia of less draft picks right now in the upper rounds and lack of production. Now, with that being said, what I saw Saturday would not hurt Georgia at all with players. Did one game change anybody's mind? Probably not. Would three or four games, sample sizes, help Georgia? Yes. So I'm interested. Jordan and Kit, we've both been watching games a long time. To me, this is a game Saturday that if Georgia gets a lead, they would suffocate you and run the ball and run the clock out. Is this a game where Georgia's going to turn it loose, let Carson Beck, Brock Vandergriff, the younger guys, the wide receivers, if they get that lead that we expect them to, will they stay on the gas and just really work this thing until the end and continue to say, hey, this is Georgia? You know, I think that that's what I want to watch this weekend. So specifically recruiting, that was one game, did not hurt, but recruits want to see that over an extended period of time. And Georgia has that opportunity, you know, every week now. But specifically this week, this is one of those games, and Kip knows this as well as anyone. This is one of those games where Georgia gets up 34-0, and they kind of grind it out to finish this game off. So we'll see where it is. We'll say, you know, the Sanford staff and Georgia staff, a lot of ties, a lot of friendships there. So not sure how that thing ends up there, but I want to see how Georgia plays as another sample size to recruits. With recruits, they can meet with after the game this time. They can come down before and after the game.
It'll be fascinating to the point you made, Rusty, because when you look at Todd Monken, he's got air raid background. And, I mean, what Georgia did, you know, on Saturday wasn't necessarily that. But, you know, there is so much passing in those offenses. It could be a situation where they recognize the amount of options they have and knowing that that is their best means to attack and the best ways to go after teams. So, again, it'll be really fascinating to see against Samford on Saturday and see if it is kind of a good barometer for what we could see going forward. Go to one of the Facebook users who had a question. Do you believe that the Stetson we got to see on Saturday will be the Stetson we see all year long? Is this because he had the entire offseason to be QB1? Now, I'll start by saying I don't know if he's going to go. I think he started 13-15, and the two incompletions were throwaways. But I do think that he can have a really good year. I mean, going back to media days when we picked all SEC, I didn't have him as my top two. I went Bryce Young and Hendon Hooker, but I had Stetson third. And I just kind of felt like with the offense, with the fact that, again, this guy was not taking first team reps, you know, was when he got thrust into this role last season. And at one point in fall camp, he was getting third team reps. So I think there's such an area, an opportunity for him to get better. I don't think I'm putting the Heisman odds. I know people have loved talking about that. And it's something, obviously, that you just never know because he's got the storyline. We know with the Heisman, storyline's a big part of it. So, you know, if he has a really good season, we may hear more of it. But I think he is in a position to have a very good year. I think you saw on Saturday, there really wasn't, other than that one play to Ladd McConkey, that kind of wild scramble touchdown, there wasn't a whole lot of those where you're sitting up there going, man, Like, what are you what are you doing? You know, like, what? Just eat it. That might have been the only play. And Stetson admitted as much afterwards. He was like, yeah, that was probably not that smart, but it worked out. But, yeah, I mean, I think he can have a really, really good year, and I think he's in a good position to do so. Kip, what are your thoughts just on Stetson coming off of that game and what we could see going forward?
Well, he definitely had, you know, pretty much as much time as he needed to find the open receivers. I think you got to give some credit to the offensive line, and they rotated guys in there. I mean, you saw Marius Mims rotating in. You saw Warren McClendon playing both tackle spots, different guards in there as well. But at the same time, I think you got to see Stetson Bennett, you know, calm and mostly protected in that pocket. And that's what you expect a guy who's in his sixth year, who's going to be turning 25 soon, who had all off season with Todd Bonking. You expect him to be able to pick apart a defense like that. You would hope so. So, you know, it definitely looked good. And also it just showed, like I said, that Todd Monken's he knows his personnel, and he's going to go with high percentage plays. And there was a lot of stuff on the perimeter in this game. Will that be the look they get all year? I'm interested to see, but if you're a defensive coordinator now, you saw that and you go, this is not the Georgia of old, and we have to prepare to defend the pass. And I mean, that also just opens it up for anyone worried about the run game. I think if now defenses have to prepare for Stetson Bennett to pick them apart, and then that's going to open up a lot of run lanes for these running backs. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if this is kind of the Georgia offense you see all year. And then at the same time, going back to Rusty's question about wide receiver recruiting, if Kenny McIntosh is a 1,000-yard receiver, does that kind of take away that narrative against Georgia, or does that just help them have a RBU state? But does that help them in running back recruiting? I'm interested to see how they would approach that if it actually ends up being Kenny McIntosh as the next 1,000-yard receiver for Georgia.
Big plot twist if that winds up happening. But I was super impressed, not only with how he played, but how Todd Monken and those guys used him. I mean, I thought that they put him in positions to make plays. Turn into another question, and it's one we've kind of already hit on. The Dog Who Barks asks, is what we did Saturday sustainable? Has the offense arrived, or was Oregon really just that bad? I hate to kind of cop out on this answer, but I think it's a little of both. I think you did get a good feel for what we could see. I think they're not afraid to get several different guys involved in the passing game. At the same time, that was the very first game for Dan Lanning and that entire staff. They do not have one coach that was there in the 2021 season that is back in 2022. Obviously, they were still figuring out personnel, things like that. I still think Oregon's going to be good. I mean, I think they're probably an 8 or 9 win team, but I wouldn't expect 7 drives and 7 touchdowns going through like it's, you know, I don't know, like 05 Texas or something like that, just rolling through teams left and right. Rusty, what are your thoughts on that as far as what to kind of take between, was Georgia really just that good, or was Oregon, you know, really having issues?
Yeah, tall task for Oregon to walk into that building, play Georgia. They're built well-oiled machine right now, and Oregon is just now starting their grind together. So, you know, I put a tweet out on this, I think Sunday, that Arkansas got absolutely ran out of Sanford Stadium last year, and everybody knows that game could have been a If Kirby Smart and Sam Pittman weren't so close, that one could have got really, really, really bad. And that was a game you watch. You go back and watch how many times Kirby Smart ran the ball in the third and fourth quarter, up 40. So, and they wind up beating Penn State, Texas, Texas A&M, LSU, Mississippi State. They went on to have a hell of a season. So I don't think you write off Oregon quite yet. It's just a bad deal. So they just a bad deal to for them to start off. But with Georgia, 7 for 7, that's not going to be the norm, but this offense can be explosive. I think everybody that covers Georgia understood the personnel they had coming back. I don't think that they've got enough credit yet, but they will. But Georgia has 3 offensive tackles right now that are NFL players, and they got 2 of them, in my opinion, that could be first-rounders in Amarius Mims and Broderick Jones. I think Warren McClendon's a little bit limited, but he is the most experienced guy, and he's going to play, continue to play. I think he's a 3rd or 4th rounder from what talking to people early on, so that's not a slouch over there. But Amarius Mims and Broderick Jones, I'm not sure there's two better looking offensive linemen in the country anywhere when those two guys trot out. So that has a lot to do with Georgia and what they're able to do, because Stetson Bennett has time to sit back there. And, you know, you start talking about, you know, God, don't get us jinxed here, but you start looking forward to maybe December and that next game with Georgia and Alabama. And you say, you know, wouldn't you like to see Amarius Mims lock up with Will Anderson? Or Broderick Jones lock up with Dallas Turner for four quarters. See those? I mean, that is NFL on NFL.
We'll take one more question before we go to a break. And it is from Yo Pickle J, who asked, if we are going to drop a regular season game, who will it be to? And we've kind of had these conversations going back to the preseason. I still, the two teams at this point, you know, I had this game, I think I had Georgia as about a 10-point favorite, but I don't think you can count out Florida by the way they played. I was probably the most impressed of any SEC team other than Georgia would have been what Florida did, because I still think that Utah team is a very good team and would still be my pick to win that conference. We always know what it's like in Jacksonville. You just never know what's going to happen. All kinds of crazy things. Was really impressed with what I saw with Anthony Richardson. So that's probably
an equalizer. Somebody that can, you know, the Georgia's speed. Well, Anthony Richardson is going to stress Georgia every play. So I agree with, you know, my two cents there. I think Florida's a team that with him against that defense, that could be an issue.
I agree. And the only other game, too, that I still was one I pointed to before was just Mississippi State. Going at Mississippi State, that game.
They looked good.
And they actually ran the ball a decent bit. I mean, much more than you would really expect from Mike Leach. But the fact that game is late in the year, obviously, we don't know what Georgia's health is going to look like. But all those
can we mention Tennessee so Jordan doesn't just cut us all off?
The producer Jordan's going to be like, "Hey, man, hey, I was impressed. I know it was Ball State, but that's an offense that's going to put up a lot of points."
Yep.
Kip, what do you think? What games kind of stand out to you? Again, I think Florida and Mississippi State are the ones that kind of stand out to me as ones that Georgia's going to have to really, really watch out for when they get here.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm interested to see what Kentucky and Florida look like this weekend with Kentucky out all those running backs, you know, what that offense kind of looks like and if they're able to really consistently muster any offense. Can Will Levis put a team on his back? You know, he threw for 300 yards, three touchdowns last week, but this Florida team will be a little bit different, a challenge for him. At the same time, we saw Anthony Richardson, you know, he had over 100 yards rushing and three touchdowns, but, you know, is that going to be the, you know, the main dimension of his game? Can he kind of put it all together as a quarterback and really force defenses to have to defend, you know, the pass and the run? If he's a true dual threat in that aspect, then I agree. That's the aspect that gives a defense like Georgia the most issues. And it would be the biggest test for Georgia. I'm starting to, you know, to lean toward Florida over Mississippi State. But again, week one, these are the week one overreactions. I think we're going to, you know, we'll learn a little bit more about Florida this week. And then as the season goes on, I think we'll have a better feel for if Mississippi State can truly push Georgia. Right now, though, I mean, it does bode well for Georgia. I think the schedule works real well. I'm not sure what we're going to learn from Mississippi State this week against Arizona. I think that's going to be a game where Mississippi State should win by two touchdowns. But at the same time, that's kind of one of those games you watch. Anytime you have a quarterback coming off a 5-touchdown, 450-yard performance, it's going to be something to keep an eye on, but he's one dimensional the other way. If you're going to throw the ball 50 times, I think Georgia's going to, you know, they're going to be prepared and kind of know what to look for. So two offenses that look kind of explosive in one aspect, but you kind of have to put it all together if you're really going to test this Georgia defense moving forward.
One more question before we get a break. Craig Lawson said, Darnell Washington is a confirmed ogre, yes or yes. That dude is just a freak. That poor Oregon defender.
My sources confirm.
That poor Oregon defender had no shot, the one who tried to tackle him. I mean, again, the word that has been used over and over with the tight ends is mismatch. And if you're like, I don't know what that means, go put that play on that Darnell had when he just pretty much walked through one tackle and then jumped another guy, because they just have nothing for those guys.
No, especially on the edge. When he sets that edge, it's over. I mean, he's got that reach, you know, that could maybe make Amarius Mims jealous. You know, he just has the ability to, as I said on the junkyard, he can block out the sun when he wants to. And so, you know, as a run blocker, but also as a pass catcher, they just don't make him like that. I mean, there's a reason why the camera focused on him and the announcers start talking about him anytime they see him, because he looks different than everybody else in the field. So it's, yeah, Todd Hartley's not losing any sleep right now. He's feeling pretty good. When you got, you know, a guy like Eric Gilbert as maybe your fourth string, or, you know, fighting with Oscar Delp for your third string tight end snaps, you've got a pretty good position room.
We're going to take a quick break. Before we do, I'd make sure and encourage everybody to go subscribe to Dogs247 on YouTube. If you're in the chat, you can see the link to that. All kinds of great content there. You can see all our videos and all our podcasts. So we'll take a quick break and then come back and answer some more questions.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, mentioning what you did, Kip, just before we went to break was a good question that NashDog18 had. Delp ahead of Gilbert. I'll actually throw this to Rusty. We saw the reps were about split. If I'm not mistaken, Pro Football Focus had Oscar Delp with, I think, 13 in-game reps on Saturday, and Eric Gilbert had 12. What do you make of where Eric is in this rundown, and even too what Oscar Delp has done to put him in this position?
Is that me or Kip?
Yeah, for you, Rusty.
Listen, it's early in this deal, and I think with Kirby Smart talking a little bit about Eric Gilbert, you hear the word consistency, and that's day in and day out. And this young man still, he's a human being, and he's continuing every day to be the best Eric Gilbert he can be without getting into too many things that don't need to be getting into here. But I think as the year goes on, I expect at some point Eric Gilbert will get reps and meaningful time. But right now, Georgia feels like it looks to me like their best options are those three with Eric Gilbert coming in behind those guys. And that doesn't mean that's going to always be the same. And I know people really want to see Eric Gilbert play, and I agree. But, I mean, listen, Oscar Delp's no joke. He was the number two rated tight end in the country. This is not a walk-on situation. This isn't a two-star situation. This is a dude that could have went to a lot of schools, and he is a very talented player. So, every day you just hope the best for Eric Gilbert and his, you know, what he's going through and some of the things he goes through as a person. But as a football player, he's special, and I know Georgia fans are excited to see him. But right now, I think Georgia feels like their best opportunity with those three guys a little bit ahead of him, and we'll see where he is. It's kind of a week-to-week thing to see what they get. I'd be interested to see how much he plays this weekend and how early they get him in.
Kind of shifting gears, this was something that a lot of people had questions about, and I think was legitimately so, is what Malachi Starks' role will be going forward. Obviously a great showing on Saturday, didn't start. That was Dan Jackson, as we sort of expected. But Rusty, with one game of sample size, what do you make of what Malachi was able to do, and just what that could mean for the kind of role he has going forward?
If he doesn't start this weekend, he's going to start. Now, let me say this. I said this in our early podcast in August. They don't have a guy in the room like Malachi Starks, and I mean that size-wise. The numbers he has. Now, Keely Ringo, we don't ever talk about Keely Ringo because he didn't get tested. And, but he's a 10, 300-meter guy. I don't think people realize when you see Keely Ringo for the first time, you don't realize this guy's 200 pounds. I mean, this is a big dude. I bet you Keely Ringo weighs 205 right now, playing corner. And, you know, he's world-class speed, 10, 300 meters. So then you look at a guy like Malachi Starks, and the number that jumps out to me, and you look at what he did, 24-7 long jumper. That's nuts at 205 pounds. The amount of explosion through your hips to be able to jump 24-7 is freaky. Let's just put it that way. Reggie Brown, only guy that I know Georgia's ever had that went 24-9. This guy's 24-7. And that's a good plug for us. 24-7 at 205 pound safety. You saw the ball skills, the ability to be able to run as fast as you can. I would have torn both ACLs and probably got drugged to Grady across the street doing what he did. He ran as fast as he could. He turns his body, makes a play. Oh, by the way, and then lands on his back and able to complete the interception. That's called ball skills, and that's naturally God-given stuff right there to be able to do. And Kip watched the game. Jordan, you watched the game. The balls they threw at him, he was all over dudes. And I said this on here, or maybe said it to y'all. I was told the only person in Athens that puts a blanket and scrimmages on Brock Bowers is number 24. And don't think for 1 minute that Georgia didn't know this guy can cover, this guy can run. That is invaluable. Now, I'm going to say this about Dan Jackson because he is the hot button on message boards. We know this. All three of us, we laughed about it, Jordan. What did I say, Jordan, in the press box? I said the only way this day gets better is if Dan Jackson gets a pick six and runs this thing 90 yards. Just to see the reaction. But Dan Jackson is going to continue to play. He's going to be a big, big part of this Georgia scheme going forward. When they go dime, Dan Jackson and Malachi Starks back there is two hellacious deep end guys for me because they're both long and they both can run. Now, does Dan Jackson have the ball skills and coverage of Malachi Starks? He doesn't, but doesn't mean that Dan Jackson cannot help this team. And I guarantee you, you're going to see him play a lot this year. But those first reps, if it's not this weekend, sooner than later, it's going to be Malachi Starks playing free safety and Chris Smith playing strong safety. I think people get that confused a lot. I see a lot of people saying Chris Smith playing deep safety. He's not. He's the strong safety, and Malachi Starks and Dan Jackson play free safety.
Yeah, that seems like maybe a natural NIL deal with 247 and Malachi with the amount of talent he's got.
We'll probably hit him up on that.
Yeah, but what did you make of Malachi? What he was asked to do? Again, I mean, rising to the occasion with that first interception, I mean, that looked like something out of a video game. What do you take away from what he did in game one as a Bulldog?
Sometimes players are just too athletic and too talented to keep off the field. And you kind of saw that in preseason camp that Georgia was working to get him up to speed. They were working over – I mean, they were putting in the effort to make sure Malachi Starks was as ready for week one as he possibly could. And, I mean, they're going to be okay with maybe some bumps in the road. And I thought he had a pretty good game. This is one of those games where there were, you know, they weren't making a lot – they weren't trying to break up a lot of passes. They kind of just knew that they were going to be able to keep everything in front of them. You saw that – you know, Oregon's longest play was like 22 yards, and it was like at the end of the first half. And I think you got to give a lot of credit to the back end there. You have a good mix. Not only do you have Malachi Starks in there, but you got some veteran safeties back there to pair with him to make sure that, you know, if, you know, he is ready and he has the right pre-snap read. And I think it's going to bode well for Georgia this season because, I mean – by the end of the year, I mean, we saw what he did in week one. What's he going to look like in week 10, week 11? You know, if he stays healthy and he continues to progress, I think he is one of those sky's the limit type players. And yeah, for Chris Smith, I mean, everyone kind of talked about Lewis Cine, you know, losing a guy like that, a first round pick. It's a big deal. But some of those tackles Chris Smith made, I mean, for being known for kind of being a coverage guy, he kind of reminded some people that he's not afraid to lower that shoulder either. And so that's an aspect that should bode really well for Georgia's defense. If Chris Smith is able to, I mean, we're not really allowed to have enforcers in football anymore, but if he's allowed to be that guy to kind of keep these guys honest across the middle and also come up and defend the run and be willing to take running back down when needed, I think that's really, really good news for Georgia as well, because they kind of have some guys with different skill sets back there. And if he can kind of be that guy, can do a little bit of everything, I think that's really going to help them moving forward.
Chris Smith, Kip covered him as well. Chris Smith's not a blazer, but he plays a hell of a lot faster on Saturdays, and that's all that matters. He is so instinctive. That ball, he jumped that route, that is formation recognition. He saw Bo Nix look that seam route down, and he jumped right in front of it. Did it last year, the same play almost with Clemson. So if you're not a 4-4 guy, the way you play at Georgia is you play faster because of your mind. He is a sure tackler. The guy can cover. And look, he might get knocked a little bit in the NFL for his top end, but at the University of Georgia, he's doing exactly what's asked, and he is producing in that back end.
I think it's huge that he came back. And if you want examples of what Kip and Rusty were both talking about, two plays, besides that interception, an early run by Oregon, he ran up from the back end and made a great tackle, tackle for loss. And then the play that might have been his last play of the game, because he kind of had a stinger afterwards, he tracked down a deep shot and knocked the ball out of the Oregon receiver. I mean, laid a big hit on the guy. But not only to cover that ground, he made a heads-up play to avoid targeting, because it would have been a very easy targeting penalty on that play.
Go back to the play before Keely Ringo makes the pick in Bama, and go watch Darian Kendrick getting beat on a ball, and Chris Smith comes over the top and bats that down. If Chris Smith's not able to get there, Darian Kendrick's beat. He missed a guy off the line of scrimmage, and Alabama has a chance to make a chunk play, if not a touchdown there. That play doesn't get talked about. I'm telling you, man, Chris Smith plays a lot faster than he really is, and that is a very good thing. Especially, that tells you how smart he is and how comfortable he is. Speaking of that, he's picked six and right now on SEC Network. So shameless plug. So we're right in for Chris Smith at the right time.
Everybody watching, if you got your TV, got your remote nearby, just click it on over there. Yeah. One more question before we wrap this up, because I actually got this on the Twitter space that I had last night. A couple people were interested on this. PRich08 asked, how has Bear Alexander been progressing? You think we'll see him in the rotation soon? A lot of people were kind of caught off guard that he wasn't involved and wasn't out there on Saturday. Rusty, any updates or anything you've heard about Bear? Obviously, he was kind of behind in spring because
shoulder.
He had surgery before spring practice. What do you got on Bear?
I go back to the Jordan Davis. Now, I'm not saying he's Jordan Davis, but Jordan Davis didn't help George until the Florida game, the last back half of his freshman year. Bear Alexander's got to play himself into that rotation. He's got to get himself healthy, strength, build back up. It's zero chance of panic time with him. He's going to be a big part of what Georgia does. But right now, he's got two very seasoned guys in front of him. So to cut into those minutes, you have to show Georgia what you can do. And I think it's early. See if he plays Kent State as we get into that week four coming off South Carolina right before that SEC gauntlet starts. But in no need, that's the biggest overreaction to me from people is like, oh my God, I didn't play, players not playing. Eric Gilbert, not really in the rotation. Bear Alexander, doesn't mean those guys will not be huge pieces of puzzle. We talk about Stetson Bennett a million times. Stetson Bennett was an afterthought this Monday last year. Not one person on this podcast was talking about Stetson Bennett, or nobody in those comments were talking about Stetson Bennett. So there is a long way to go, and there'll be a lot of people step up for George as the year goes on.
Jason Brett said, got to mention the potential year K-Mac has ahead of him. I was thoroughly impressed with what he did. And again, the fact they're willing to be so creative with him, he'll be somebody to watch.
Built for the NFL, Jordan. Built for the NFL. And oh, by the way, it was a 3-star prospect. So he's playing a lot better than what people had him ranked. And I'm telling you now, what we saw in person, Jordan, it's a lot faster in person than wasn't it Saturday. When you see him, how quick he is stressing linebackers with the ball in the flat.
And just how clean his cuts are. One of the plays he had when he caught the ball out of the backfield, I mean, he just made a cut, and that was like 10, 15 extra yards. It was unreal.
Yep.
Todd Monken's having to work with scraps out there. You got a walk-on quarterback, these 3-star receivers, 3-star running backs. I mean, man, once he gets his guys in there, this team might be pretty good.
He feels like he's in Hattiesburg again, I'm sure.
I got a lot of texts Saturday about Ladd McConkey, and I'll share 2 seconds about Ladd McConkey. The longtime former head coach at Calhoun High School, Hal Lamb, called me. North Murray beat Calhoun for the first time in 185 years, and it was a big deal. And it was a shootout, like 45-41. And Ladd McConkey was the guy. And Hal Lamb called me. And I'll say this, his head coach at North Murray texted me. He called me. He sent me DMs. We got a dude. We got a dude. Now, I get that a lot. Everybody's got the next Hunter Renfrow. Everybody's got the next, you know, whoever. I wouldn't say I was wrong on Ladd McConkey because I didn't really have an opinion. But I'm telling you right now, everybody that I should have respected, lesson learned, that don't call me about every guy, call me about Ladd McConkey. Like, this dude's different. And a hell of an evaluation by Kirby Smart and his staff to go get him after signing day, the first one, and add him the second one. Because if not, that kid ends up at Mercer, where he was probably going, or East Tennessee State. Huge Tennessee fan. I'm talking major, major Tennessee fan. Big-time Tennessee family, alumni. They didn't really sniff him. So Ladd McConkey is a guy that Georgia evaluated properly. They did their job, and this kid in person, Jordan, is it not? I mean, it's freaky, his change of direction now.
It is nuts. And apologies to producer Jordan, who just had to endure that, because I'm sure he just tried to pull the plug on it.
He just muted me. Sorry. I mean, it is what it is. And if you know that family, that's not season ticket holders. That's big money Tennessee fans there. And that was interesting how he ended up at the University of Georgia, but hell of an eval by Kirby Smart and his staff.
Yeah, I can say as a fellow North Georgia guy, there's a bunch of Tennessee fans in that part of the state.
And especially that town.
Yes, no doubt about it. Well, we are going to wrap this episode up. Appreciate Rusty and Kip popping on. Appreciate all you guys for asking questions.
Are we every Thursday? I mean, every Tuesday? I want you to remember right.
That's going to be the plan. I believe we're going to shoot for Tuesdays and probably Wednesdays and try to do that. We'll definitely do Tuesdays because – good. Usually the availability will be later in the day when I'll be out talking to Kirby and company. But want to make sure, too, for everybody watching and everybody listening, we're recording on a Tuesday, if you're listening to this later. We have a deal that ends Tuesday night at 11:59 p.m. on Dogs 247, 75% off a VIP membership. It's well worth the money. You get a chance not only to check out our content, our message boards, also all the other 247 sites. Great deal, great timing because the season's now in. Rusty and Kip and myself have all kinds of insight and intel on there that we're keeping for the VIP members. So we need you guys to hop on there and you can ask us questions. We do a ton of Q&As and Rusty has Ask Rusty that he does. We want to let you guys know everything we know. And the best way to do that is to go subscribe. Again, I mentioned earlier, go subscribe to the YouTube, Dogs247, all kinds of good stuff there. So we're going to wrap it up there. Appreciate everybody watching, tuning in. Maybe if you're listening to this later, we really appreciate it. Make sure and subscribe. Tell all your friends about the podcast and come hang out with us because it's going to be 2 times a week. And then also after the games, get a chance to hang out and talk about what we saw. So we're going to wrap it up there. Appreciate everybody for watching and listening. And until next time, take care.
There's a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.